Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
Man, what a morning. We survived the storms. Here we are. I think I've given up on like meteorology altogether. I don't know. But it's great to be here. It's great to have Azenbeck back in the house. We've missed you. I don't know, maybe people were hoping it was you this morning. And they're like, we got Josiah again. I don't know. No, our hearts are open to what God wants to do this morning. If you don't know me, I'm Josiah. I'm a youth and young adult pastor here, and it's my privilege to share this morning. We do kick off a new series. As quickly asked me, said, what are you preaching on this morning? And don't worry, I haven't gone rogue. I spoke about authority 2 weeks ago. I'm a man under authority. We're sticking to the plan. I'm not bringing something random. But I want to set up this new series this morning with a story. 2 years ago, I had the privilege of going over to Europe, and I got to walk and tour some of the most amazing old churches. I don't know if you've ever had the privilege of doing that, like these amazing stone buildings where churches have been there for hundreds of years, potentially some even thousands of years, these structures. And I was walking through these churches, and I remember one in Spain where we went to this little prayer room, and it had a couple steps to get into this prayer room, and I noticed something. The center of the stone on the steps was worn down. Like there was a slope on each step where people had walked for hundreds of years on the same spot walking into the prayer room. I don't know if you've noticed this. Like maybe you walk through the forest, you see where people have gone, you see the tracks. But seeing this church, these stone steps that where it had been worn down over time, consistently people coming back to the same place. For hundreds of years, people had been coming to the same place. And this series, Rewind, Refresh, Renew, is a little bit the same. We're actually going to return to some key messages we've heard throughout the year, because the idea is the same. There's actually power when you come back to something consistently. There's actually power that we wouldn't be a church that moves on too quickly from what God's spoken, but we actually want to let those words build our life. I mean, I'm guilty of this, and I'm not going to assume for you, but I suspect it's not just me. Sometimes we forget what the preacher said on Sunday. Like, how was church? It was great. What did they speak on? Jesus, you know? Sometimes we move on so quick from the message, but we wanted to make sure as we come to the end of the year, what has God brought into our life to build us up this year? To build our faith that we'd actually be discipled by the word of God and not just forget lessons, but no, let's reminisce on them. Let's come back to the same part, the same place. There's power when we come back to the same place. So rewind, refresh, renew. And I'm excited for this series that, you know, Jesus said that those who, it didn't just hear his word, but then put it into practice in their life were compared to the wise builder on the rock. Let's be a church that we actually build our life on the word of God. And so we're going to return to some messages or some series. And so this morning, as I kick off, I'm going to take us all the way back to January. January. Can you remember that? I mean, I know we've just started November. I mean, January, you're like, yeah, that's in a few weeks. Like, no, we're going back. Back to January, to a series. And maybe, I mean, you might be in the room, you're like, I wasn't here in January. Either you're on holidays or you're like, I just started coming to church last week. I wasn't here. That's all right. It might not be a rewind for you, but you're going to hear what we looked at. We had a series called Seeing Clearly in 2025. We started off the year Seeing Clearly in 2025, that this would be a year where we actually see what God's doing in our life. We'd actually look for him in our life. Look to see his fingerprints on our life, to have a vision of where we're going, to focus our attention on God this year. We heard this amazing verse from the book of Proverbs 29. I'll read it from two translations, the King James Version. Where there's no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Or a modern translation in the Message, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. See, there was a key that we wanted to start 2025 with, that vision is so important. If you lose vision in your life, or if you never gain vision for where you're going, the Bible says that we perish, we stumble over ourselves, we don't know where we're going. Lacking vision is so dangerous. We all want to know that our lives, maybe our careers, our finances, our relationships are actually progressing somewhere. They're actually moving forward. They're heading in a direction that, you know, that looks pretty good over there. Let's go this way. We all want to know that our life is going somewhere. We're not just stagnant. We're not just stuck. We're not just in a hole. We're actually going somewhere. And the key to that is vision, to know where we're going, to see where we're going. We don't want to be stagnant. We need vision and direction for our lives. I saw this, and I'm going to use my wife, Bella, as an example for this. Back in 2018, this wrestle of having vision became apparent in our relationship. At this point, in 2018, we'd been together for over 4 years of dating as young people. And young people, if you're dating, there comes a point in a relationship where 4 years, it turns out, is the number for ours, where my lovely girlfriend at the time started to ask me questions like, where is this going? How long do I have to be your girlfriend before I can be your wife? That Bella had this desire in her heart. Where is this going? Do I have a vision of what's next? Are we progressing somewhere? Is this moving forward? Or am I dating some young punk who's got no idea of the future, no concept of where he's going in life? I could tell at that point that Bella was desperate for the future. Now, fortunately for me, I had a plan too. I wanted to propose, but some people want that moment to be a surprise. I'm one of those people. I know there's others where you're like, no surprises. We know the date. I've already bought the ring myself. You can give it to me on this day. But that was, hey, I know you're in the room. I was not like that. I had a vision too. We were working on the same page. We knew where we were going, but I want this moment to be a surprise for Bella. And so unfortunately, it led to these discussions of where's this going? What's going to happen in this relationship? And see, Bella wasn't going to be limited by some young punk that hadn't got his act together. She's beginning to dream about her life. If I'm not going to take a step forward, well, she's going to see what her life could look like. I know she was beginning to plan, well, if we're not getting married yet, maybe I'll go see the world. Maybe I'll go there. In fact, she nearly went on the Jesus trek that As and Beck went on. But then I ruined it by actually finally proposing. She wanted a vision for her life. And I know when finally one Sunday afternoon, I bent the knee at a waterfall at Montville and gave the ring. Vision returned again. Hey, this relationship's going somewhere. I'm not stuck in this thing. Vision is so key for our lives. Vision is so key. We want to know, is my life going somewhere? Maybe you're like, man, I don't know if my life's going somewhere. I feel stuck in a rut. I don't have a vision this morning of where my life could be going, or a particular area of your life. Like, I just feel like there's no vision for the future. Well, this morning is the day to pick up vision again. Vision sets our direction. Vision sets the direction we're going. Vision also actually helps you with the pace that you're going at. I remember as a child, I did 1 year where my parents signed me up for little athletics. I was such a slow runner. I was so bad at sprinting. But I remember the sprinting coach, he looked at me and said, Josiah, if you want to just run a little bit faster, you need to fix your eyes on the finish line. Stop looking at the other runners who have passed me, but stop looking left and right to see where other people are. You need to just set your eyes on the finish line and you'll find yourself running faster. Maybe you had a vision of the finish line. You had a vision, but as you're going, you're starting to look, well, what else is going on? What else is going on? I know what this is like in life. I the last 2 years I've had a job as a chaplain at a high school, and that school has come with some frustrations, like any job does. It's come with some low moments, and 2024, I felt like I lost my vision for that job. I lost my vision for why am I actually there? It just became a job to clock in and clock out. I wonder if you've ever felt like that too. What's my purpose for being here? And sometimes it might just be, well, at least they pay me. I felt that. I lost the divine purpose for me being there. I know that God opened that door for me initially, but sometimes as we're running, we lose the vision of the finish line. We lose the divine purpose that we're placed somewhere. And this year has been a year where I had to try and wrestle and fight to get my focus back to the vision God put in my life for that job. Why am I there? Why am I there? It's been a wrestle this year, and I've got to thank men's prayer for being one of those places where God's spoken to me and dealt with me. Deal with your attitude, Josiah. Get your eyes back on me. Get your eyes on what I've called you to. It's amazing the difference when you embrace a divine purpose and vision for something in your life compared to when you don't. Like, I've been able to see some incredible things in this job even just the last few weeks because I feel like finally I'm starting to remember I've got a divine purpose for being in that school. There's a young man that goes to school and he started bringing a Bible along. And he had a rough day one time. Some kids were picking on him. And, you know, as a chaplain, I'm there to support him. But I know that this young man is trying to follow Jesus. He's learning. So I got to not just support him, but also challenge him. Hey, how would Jesus respond to people who persecuted him? Would you not just like, not just encourage him, but challenge him? Would you love your enemies? It's been amazing to see what God can do in a moment to actually be able to disciple a young man in a school where it feels like for so long I forgot that God could be at work in that space. There's been a colleague, another staff member who's at times asked me questions about my faith. And in the last few weeks, she asked me, we had a 45-minute discussion in a class about the Bible, about the Word of God. She's asking me questions because she's hungry. Asenbeck said 80% of people might respond yes to an invitation right now. I found this woman is hungry. She's asking me questions about the Bible, and from her lips came this statement, I want to read the Bible. I want to read the Bible. So the next day I rocked up with a Bible for her. Now in the last week, she's been reading the gospel. She's been reading the gospel. She's asking me questions. What does this mean in Matthew chapter 7 when Jesus said this? There's a divine vision that's come back to a job that for a whole year, I was just clocking in, clocking out. Vision brings energy to your life, brings purpose to your life. You don't feel like you're stuck in something. Vision is so powerful. I wonder what would happen if you realized there was a bigger purpose to your employment than just a paycheck. That you're not just there to make phone calls or make coffee, to cut hair, to teach a curriculum. You're not just there for meetings or analyzing data. You're not just there to lay wires or do whatever it is that you do in your job. But what's the divine purpose that God's got? What if you had a vision for God to use you in your everyday? To use you in the environment that perhaps like me, your eyes went from the divine purpose to just, I'm just here to make a living. What if you got a vision again? What if you picked up a vision? What if you got a vision? What if you got a divine vision for your life that you could actually see greater than what you're seeing right now? That you could have hope? It's no wonder that hopelessness is like people say, I just couldn't see anything better for my life. They're saying, I don't have vision. When there's no vision, we perish. We trip over ourselves. We need vision. We need vision. I think you're hearing what I'm saying this morning. We need vision. I wonder if you've got vision today. I wonder if you've still got vision today. We know that the world operates in seasons, and it makes sense that in January we would try and set up a year to see God's hand, throughout 2025. It makes sense that we would start a year like that, but can I say that in November, it's just as important that we would see what God's doing in our life. And I don't know what the last 10 months of your life has looked like. I don't know if you've been someone that has been able to see God at work, or if you feel completely hopeless, if you feel like this has been a year from hell. I don't know what your year has looked like. Could have been the best of years or the worst of years. I don't know what it's looked like for you, but can you see where God might have been at work? Can you begin to look for God? Where were you in that? Where were you in that moment? Today's an opportunity for refreshing, for a renewal, to come back to the vision that God wants for your life. Today's the day. Man, in worship just a few minutes ago, we were being hit on the front row here. I could tell God was doing something in the room because he wants you to get a vision again. He wants to refresh you, bring in a fresh wind. I mean, the songs we sung this morning, I'm like, man, would you do it, Lord? Would you do it? In the series in January, we had Pastor John Cameron visit, and he emphasized our need for vision. He said, friends, we are meant to live our lives with vision. He said this, ours is a visionary faith. We serve the God who gives sight to the blind and speaks to things that aren't as though they already were. This is a visionary faith. He said this, this is what you need for vision. Vision is the process of seeing God, seeing ourselves, seeing the world, and seeing our part. We need to see God at work. We need to see our true identity. And see a world that needs us to do something and find our part. That's the sort of vision we want to take up this morning. We need to have eyes to see what God's doing in our life. The reality is that the natural things, the physical things, the things that you can see with your natural eyes aren't everything that there is to see. It's not all that's happening. It's not all that's at play. I've been loving this next passage the last few months. It's been really challenging me to remind me that there's not just the natural world. We're in a spiritual fight. And I love that actually next door in Beacon Kids, they've been focusing on this passage, this chapter of scripture. They're probably asking you parents, can we get to church so I can get another thing on my bracelet? Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Beacon Church, we live in a world where there's a spiritual battle for your soul. There is a spiritual battle at play. You might not see it in the natural. There's more to be seen than just what we see in the natural. The enemy's goal is to steal, kill, and destroy your life. But Jesus Christ desires you to have true life, life abundant. There is a spiritual battle going on. And just 2 weeks ago, I shared on the authority that we have in Jesus Christ. We spoke about the power that is to stand in a spiritual battle, that we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be fearful in the spiritual battle. We can have a confidence. I don't want any of us to be confused. The spiritual battle is not raging on because God's incapable of defeating the enemy. It's not a battle because the sides are matched evenly. It's not a battle over your life because God can't overpower the devil. That's not what's at play here. God has actually given us a time. He has given us a time to either choose him or not choose him before he returns, to come and ultimately defeat the devil, to bring judgment to evil, and also any that refuse to accept his free gift of forgiveness and grace. He's given us a time. That's why there's a battle going on right now. What decision are you going to make? Are you going to choose life in Jesus Christ? God is greater than what the enemy can throw at you. You don't need to be afraid. Like I said a few weeks ago, you might need to pray, but you don't need to be afraid. And God's given us an incredible picture that we looked at in January from 2 Kings chapter 6 of what it looks like to feel totally outmatched in a spiritual battle, but to recognize God at play. In 2 Kings chapter 6, when the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he would confer with his officers and say, "We will mobilize our forces at such and such a place." But immediately Elisha, the man of God, would warn the king of Israel, "Do not go near that place, for the Arameans are planning to mobilize their troops there." So the king of Israel would send word to the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he would be on alert there. The king of Aram became very upset over this. He called his officers together and demanded, "Which one of you is a traitor? Who has been informing the king of Israel of my plans?" "It's not us, my lord the king," one of the officers replied. "Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom." "Go and find out where he is," the king commanded, "so I can send troops to seize him." The report came back, "Elisha is at Dothan." So one night, the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. When the servant of the man of God got up early the very next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. "Oh, sir, what will we do now?" the young man cried to Elisha. "Don't be afraid," Elisha told him, "for there are more on our side than on theirs." Then Elisha prayed, "Oh, Lord, open his eyes and let him see." The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. What an amazing story. An enemy king of Israel in his war room, scheming, planning, where are we going to attack? Let's attack here. And God speaks to Elisha, "Hey, they're going to attack there." So he warns the king and they don't go there. And the enemy king is so frustrated. "Which one of you is a traitor? How do they keep knowing our plans?" But Elijah has the vision that God gives him to see even what's happening in a distant place, to see behind closed doors, to see the enemy's schemes. Elijah can see it because God can see it. He warns the king. They don't fall into the trap. I love that the enemy officers know that God is on the side of Elisha. They're not confused. They're not also arguing which one of you spoke. They know God is on Elisha's side. I wonder in our life, in our world, do the people in our worlds know that God is on our side? Do they know when you walk into work, you're a Christian? When you get that promotion, does the honor go to God? Do they know that God's on your side? Do they know? Are you giving credit to God for what's happening, that he's working in your life? Do we give God credit? Israel's enemies, they plot to take out Elisha. If we can get rid of the voice of God to the king, then finally we can attack them. And they surround him. It's overwhelming. It's terrifying to the young man that serves Elisha. He looks out the window and he sees an army against him. There's no way out. They're totally surrounded. There's chariots and weapons and it's terrifying. So he cries out, "Oh, sir, what will we do now?" But Elisha's vision was not limited to the physical. He saw the chariots. He saw the weapons. He saw that they were totally surrounded. But he also saw what God was doing. "Don't be afraid. There are more on our side than on theirs." I love that he prays, "Lord, open his eyes. Let him see." Come on, maybe you're here this morning. You're like, I feel like that servant. And your desperate cry is, God, would you open my eyes and let me see this morning? Would you give me a vision again? Would you show me where you were at work? Even though I saw this year, I was surrounded. I was attacked on all sides. Maybe this year you've faced that. You faced something that totally stopped you in your tracks. Maybe it was the words of a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant. Maybe it was just the world screaming at you this year. And in the natural, you looked around and I'm totally surrounded. This morning, I pray that, like for the servant, our eyes are all going to be open. Where was God at work in that? Where was he moving? Did I miss it? Did I not see it because I could only see the natural? Where's his hand? What has he spared me from? I mean, we don't have the time this morning, but go read the end of this story. Read how God delivers Elisha and the servant. Incredible. 2 Kings chapter 6. Go read it. Are you seeing God's hand in and on your life in 2025? Remember his promises to you. There's a promise I want to remind all of us of when we feel like we're surrounded. From Deuteronomy 31 verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one that goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Man, so many times when I don't have the vision to see beyond the natural, it's a promise from the scripture. It's a word from my time reading. It's one line that stops me in my tracks and says, hey, you need to know this right now. You need to lift your eyes above the natural because I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. It's a promise in here. Beacon, if we want to be a church that always has vision, we're going to need to know what God says. We're going to need to know the scripture. This wasn't just an encouragement to read the scripture in January. This should be our whole life, to hold on to the words of God, to know this book, to know his word. How can you build your life on something you haven't read? How can you hold on when storms are raging in your life if you don't know the anchor for your soul? My church, we gotta know the word of God. We gotta be in the word of God. It will protect your vision. Because when you see in the natural, it will remind you what he's doing in the supernatural. My prayer is we'd all catch vision this morning. Because I don't want you to perish. I don't want to perish. I don't want you to stumble over yourself. I want you to know what God is doing in your life. I want you to be confident that he has called you. There is a direction that you can chase after. There is a plan for your life. You are called by God. There is hope for your future. Man, I got so much I'm just skipping today. Because I want you to receive a vision. Man, I got great quotes. Skip that. That's fine. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Let's not let that be us. I don't want to perish. I don't want that to be us. I want you to gain a clear vision this morning. God, what is it you've got for me? What is the purpose of my life? Some of you need a big, bold life vision. You got to know the trajectory of your life, and you won't get there tomorrow. You got to know, man, for the next couple decades, I'm running in that direction. That I'm going after that because that's what God's put me on this earth for. Maybe you need a vision for a specific area of your life. Why am I still in this job, Lord? What have you got for me in this place, in this season? What's my purpose in this area of my life? Why did that old friend come back into my world? What's the purpose there? this morning, I really felt some of you need a fresh vision for your marriage. What is the purpose of my marriage? What is the purpose of this most important connection in my life? What's the vision? In the scripture, it'll tell you that a marriage is designed to be an image and reflection of Christ's love for the church. That's a vision you can run after in your marriage. Is your marriage so filled with love that a non-believer would look at your marriage and say, oh my goodness, whatever it is that's driving that, I want it. I don't want that to be a word of condemnation for anyone in this room. I truly felt in worship before, some of you, today's the day where you're going to get fresh vision for marriage again. What's been hard, with a vision, you're no longer going to stumble. It's no longer going to be a relationship that's perishing. Life could return. Vision could return. Our marriage could be a beautiful image to the lost of a loving God. I wonder where you need vision in your life. I wonder what vision God's going to give you today. Would we stand? We're going to make a little bit of space. We weren't planning to do this. That's why I told the team to sing that song again, because I told them something totally different earlier. You need a fresh vision. I need a fresh vision. Man, I love the picture when we pray together, the vision that is of a praying community. Maybe you just needed to see it. You just needed to see the power of standing in a church that's praying together, that maybe you didn't know who you were praying with. You say, man, I want to be in a church like that, where I meet people I don't know and I know I'm joined together by the love of God. I want to be in that community. Where do you need vision this morning? Come on across this room. Would you position yourself to pray? Position yourself to ask God. If you need to shut your eyes, if you need to raise your hands or hold them out, whatever it is you need to do. God, we believe that you can bring vision in a moment, a thought, a picture, that brings hope to our hearts. A deep sense of, that's it. I couldn't do anything greater than that. Lord, in this atmosphere of faith and hunger to know you, would you begin to release vision on our life again? Would you bring hope to our hearts that it could be better than it is right now? Even if this was the best year, God, you could do greater. You could do more. This is not the end. It's not the end. There's a better chapter ahead still. God, would you give vision? Would you give vision and life? The image of life returning to what's been dark. The areas that we've been perishing. The areas we've been stagnant, where we've stumbled. Would you bring life again, Lord? We're going to sing this song again. And if you're desperate for vision and you need to get out of your seat and come worship on the altar, do it. If you've got to be bolder in your worship than you ever have been and raise your hands or get on your knees, then do it. Because we don't want to leave this place still perishing. Still stagnant, still stumbling. Today's the day, friend. Today's the moment where vision touches your heart. Yeah. Life can return. Come on, team, would you lead us so we can pray and worship?
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.